Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Many have experienced or are experiencing similar or even greater pain than what I have the last several months. I think of not only the members of this congregation, but other congregations close by, and think of how many people are going through very difficult times. You think of the chronic pain that some struggle with. We know of dysfunctional marriages, dysfunctional families. Many of us have family members that are unfaithful. Know many friends who have a parent or a sibling that are going through dementia, Alzheimer's. It's just a sad, sad state of affairs. I know many who have lost a loved one. Many here have lost loved ones recently. I know some that the pain of losing a spouse, of losing a child, is a pain I can't quite imagine. So the purpose of my lesson this morning is, as I was going through some challenges personally, I had taken some notes of some things that I feel like God intends me to understand better. And for what it's worth, I will share those with you. It is not to elevate my situation above anybody else's. There's pain in this world that we all must deal with. But I hope that this could be of some benefit to you as it has to me. I think most are familiar with what I've gone through, so I'm not going to take the time, because I will run out of time, I'm sure, to reiterate what I've been struggling with. But these are some of the lessons that I have learned, and I will expand upon this morning. Specifically, why? What's the purpose? What benefit is there to pain and suffering? Understand the gift of life. To have better perspective and to really think about your priorities. To develop a patience, a dependence. And we'll talk about the importance of our bodies, both physical and spiritual. So that is my hope, that we can get through this morning. So, why? What's the purpose? Well, frankly, it's to let us know something's wrong. That is the purpose of pain. And thank God that we have pain. If we had no pain, we'd have no way of knowing that something was wrong, and we would have no reason to address the source of the pain. We would just continue on as we have in the past. Pain without progress is worthless to everyone. To just be in pain is purposeless. Can you imagine a mother giving birth to a child and getting halfway there and then just staying in that condition? Why do you go through this pain? It's to have that baby. No one wants to stay in pain. But sometimes pain is for our good. You can't really develop physically without some growing pains. You can't get much stronger without tearing down your muscles and going through a painful process, lifting weights and so forth. You've heard the phrase, no pain, no gain, which there's some truth to that. And even our Lord learned from suffering. Hebrews 5:8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. There's lessons to be learned in pain and suffering. And sometimes we have to force the pain to be worse before it will have a chance to get better. You think about, no one wants to see a doctor. We don't enjoy that process. And I've been to the doctor so many times, if I see someone ask me what my pain is from 0 to 10, I was about to scream. I don't enjoy that process. But sometimes it's necessary. And you get to a pain to a certain point that you realize, you know what? I have to do this. And I have to get worse before it gets better. So I did not, personally, I did not fear the back surgery. I did not think about that at all. I was in such pain at the moment, there was no option. I can't stay in this state. Because that state continually would have been worse than being called home. So the application I want to make here is that relationships can be painful. Tendency may be to shut down and protect the wound that has developed rather than open up and let it air out and have a chance to heal. We'd rather live in the level of pain that we have currently without relationship than take the risk that that pain could get worse. And I think that's cowardly. I don't think that's what God wants from us, especially when we talk about relationships with family and our spiritual family. Relationships with our brethren are important. In fact, they are more important than our worship. You know, think about that for a moment. So Matthew 5:23-24 says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. There's a priority there. That God, who is deserving of our worship, sees the need of our relationships with one another as being more important. That's what God wants. And that's what pain can cause us to do, is to address the pain. So let's talk about the gift of life. The brevity of this life, sometimes significant pain can remind you that we are not here permanently. And I remember being a young teenager and thinking about living forever and the desire to live a long time. Because, hey, I feel good, having fun. I'd love this to continue. This is pretty cool. And you think about the fountain of youth and that desire to live on this earth at that same life experience and continue that on forever. That would be so cool. But I've long since realized that it is folly and misguided desire. God never intended us nor wants us to live in this life forever. He desires us to live in the next life. And to come to appreciate what the next life will hold for us by some of the pain and suffering we have to endure in this life. So pain and suffering remind us that this world is not our home. And we are not promised tomorrow. This gift of life can be taken back at any time. And we can be called into account as to what we did with God's gift. Did we use it for good or evil? Do we use it to further His cause or our own desires? For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Romans 14:11-13. This life is a vapor. James 4:14. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. The next life lasts forever. So it seems very appropriate to me that we should be spending more time preparing for the next than we do worrying about the present. But understand that life is a gift. Also understand that life's too short. It goes by quickly. So take the initiative. Seek to reconcile. Seek to understand. Let go of grudges and hurt feelings and pursue peace with all, even if, you were the one in the right. In our relationship with God, He is the one who has every right to be offended by our sins. He did us no wrong, but we wronged Him. Yet He pleads and implores us to be reconciled to Him. He offers peace and forgiveness and begs us to take Him up on this gracious offer. So the one in the right, that is God, pursues peace with the one that is wrong. If you've been offended and sinned against, follow God's example. And for the sake of your brother, seek to find reconciliation and peace with him. How many families would be better off with that attitude? How many congregations would be healthier with that perspective? How many people have you heard say, well, if they want forgiveness, they'll come find me? And take solace that they feel like they're in the right. That's not the example we see in the Scriptures. I like this quote. Each morning, it's hard to see, when you open your eyes, think only three things. Thank you, and thank you. Then set out to make the best use of the gift of this day that you can. So pain and suffering can remind us that life is a gift. Therefore, we should be thankful for it and use it in the best way we know how, to God's glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-22. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. So, I put the bold in there to emphasize a point that sometimes I think we miss. That we have reason to be thankful. I don't care how bad your situation is. Whatever pain you're going through, whatever suffering you're enduring, we have reason to be thankful. We have reason to rejoice always. And I'm reminded of Paul and Silas. They always come to mind when I think about this topic. How they were singing praises to God at midnight in spite of being shackled in a jail for doing nothing wrong. And I believe that is only possible because they see the gift of God, as His salvation, as greater than their current situation, therefore they are always thankful. So regardless of your situation, we have this life's temporary, the next life's eternal, and we have that gift to be with God forever. So we can endure, as Peter talks about a lot, the suffering of this life, looking forward to the next. And we as Christians need to have the same mindset of Paul and Silas. If we can't give thanks to God in all circumstances, we fail to appreciate what He has done for us, and therefore we are violating the will of God. That's not what He wants. Should we blame God for our current situation? No, we should praise God. Should we feel sorry for ourselves? No, we should be grateful for the opportunity to demonstrate the grace of God in our lives. So perspective. So pain and suffering opened my eyes to many things that I'd never paid much attention to. Many people are in pain and suffering in greater ways than we realize. So an increased awareness of others' plights due to my own experiences. have a greater sensitivity to others that are going through similar issues. So it opened my eyes. And due to my short-term disability, I was forced to slow down. To shut down all my ambitions and plans, my expectations for tomorrow, we'll go and build and, right? We're going to do this and that. My goals at one point were reduced to see if I could put a sock on. I had a lot of time on my hands to think and reflect on many things. But without this forced shutdown, I did not take the time or have the inclination to dwell in depth on life and all its various complexities. So pain and suffering was a blessing. I don't remember the author of this book, but there was a small book I read. It's called 212 Degrees or something to that effect. And the idea was simple, that 1 degree makes all the difference. At 211 degrees, you got hot water. At 212 degrees, you have steam that powers a locomotive. So that extra effort, that incremental desire can make all the difference. And I had found that I had done a pretty good job of applying that principle at work. But the wake-up call was to realize I need to apply that principle every day. The perspective is that we need to use that same diligence and effort in every aspect of our life. We need to do everything as unto the Lord. And I believe that means the best of our ability. Can we honestly say that we approach the things we do at church or the things we do in our family? Do we use the same diligence, the same mindset, that little extra effort and that passion and pursuit of what is best? Think about it. And I hope you're doing it. But that's a lesson that I had to learn, that there's more I can do. Some of you heard a talk Bill Sink gave. I can't remember exactly where. I think it was a retreat. And he talked about this book that mentioned waffles and spaghetti. Okay, and some of you are smiling, so I know you probably know what I'm talking about. But the very basic idea is men and women think differently. I know that's a revelation. But men are more compartmentalized, right? We have a task. We focus and we take care of that task. And then we move on to the next task. And it's very black and white. Women are more like spaghetti, where it's all intertwined. I mean, there's 20 things going on, and everything, in fact, impacts everything else. And both are valuable. And I believe God put men and women together for a reason. And we would be wise to work with one another's strengths rather than focus on each other's weaknesses. And I believe that allows us to accomplish more together than we would if we were apart. I believe it's all part of God's wonderful plan. I remember so many things that, you know, an issue gets brought up. I think about it. And it's like, okay, let's do this. But what about this, 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 and this? How that impacts all these other things? Like, I hadn't thought of that. All right, well, let's think. Plan B, let's do this. Well, what about this, 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 and this? So together, yes, there's some beauty of focus and making decisions, but there is also beauty in understanding and have a broader perspective than just the immediate issue at hand and how that impacts others. Another perspective that I learned is, yes, life goes on without you. No one is indispensable. And in my situation, it was an opportunity to develop someone on my team. It was kind of a baptism by fire that I'm not there and you need to take care of some things. So it ended up being a blessing for him, and ultimately for me as well, as he developed. But I believe that pain and suffering gives us greater empathy or sympathy for others who suffer. And if you struggle with the difference in those words, I had this little chart up here. Empathy is I feel your pain, and sympathy means I'm sorry that you're in pain. So I guess I move from sympathy to empathy. I more directly could relate to some people that are going through health challenges. 2 Corinthians 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." So the God of all comfort teaches us that we need, teaches us the need of the afflicted for that comfort. We become like God when we learn to provide comfort to others. We can't fully appreciate the value of that comfort until we've been on the other end, until we've been the afflicted one. And then we start to see just how important that is. Therefore, pain and suffering helps us to grow in our ability to comfort others in need and recognize the value of that comfort to the afflicted. So I believe that's helped me to have a desire to comfort others. So I appreciate this quote. It says, "As we exit the speeding highway and opt for the slower scenic route, we find a richness to life, and we wonder how we've missed it all this time." And just a perspective. When you're forced to stop, slow down, and think about things, there's much to life. It goes by quickly. So the perspective is make the most of the moments that you have before they pass you by. So priorities. Your priorities aren't what you say. Your priorities aren't what they say they are. What you say they are. They are revealed by how you live. So priorities. Intellectually, I could always respond correctly with what is most important and sincerely mean it. However, when you face severe health issues, it becomes more than an intellectual exercise and acknowledgement. There is a greater awareness of the meaning of these priorities and examination how I am allocating my time and resources toward those priorities. So does the way you live your life point others toward your stated priorities, or is there a disconnect between what you say and how you live? Visiting sick in the hospital is not something anyone enjoys doing. Well, maybe there's someone, but it's for the most part, nobody enjoys doing that. I personally hated it. It's awkward. You're not sure what to say. You feel for them, but I don't want to be there. I always could come up with some reasons why I couldn't go. You know, I'm a very busy, successful professional that can't be bothered during work hours to sit around and accomplish nothing. That's pretty much how I looked at it. What good am I really doing? Now, through my own ordeals, I realize that benefit. And I'm going to try to make a better effort to go whenever possible. And I think about it is better to be the one to go visit than to be the one that needs the visiting. So every time you are complaining inside about having to go, stop and thank God that you're not the one in need of the visit. Makes it a little easier to make that sacrifice and go visit the one that needs the comfort. Patience. I like to be in control. I like things to happen. I tend to be a person of action. And I've been faced with something that there's no quick fix. And I like this quote, "Patience is the calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one you have in mind." We're not in control. Life happens. and you have to deal with it. And patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It is necessary to be faithful to God. It is increased by having to adjust to God's will and His timing when it doesn't match our own. So therefore, pain and suffering leads to patience. And that's a good thing. How about dependence? This quote, complete weakness and dependence will always be the occasion for the Spirit of God to manifest His power. We tend to take pride in our independence. We don't need anyone's help. We can do this. Yet God desires us to seek dependence upon Him, to realize that we are far less significant than we think and far less in control of outcomes. God is in control. He sometimes will use pain and suffering to remind us of this fact. He manifests His glory when we are in our greatest time of need. Paul pleaded with God 3 times to remove the thorn in the flesh. God responded by saying, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. So pain and suffering help us to depend on God more. It helps us to be dependent upon each other more. It's a good thing. So let's talk about our bodies. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians 12, read it, 27, I think. I've become acutely aware of just how important even a quote-unquote small and relatively insignificant part of the body is to the whole. I've had extreme nerve pain that will sometimes manifest itself in an electric-type shock. My left big toe. Now, how many of you have thought much about your left big toe? You pay much attention to it? Cross your mind? Me either. Until now. So pain and suffering has helped me to see that every part of the body is important, and when one part is hurting, it greatly impacts the whole body. A more common illustration would be a toothache. I mean, if you've had a bad toothache, it's miserable. The rest of your body's not having any fun. So even a small part is essential. When it's hurting, the whole body hurts. But this is not only true of our physical bodies, but our spiritual bodies as well. So let's read Romans 12. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So we're all important to the health and well-being of the body of Christ, the congregation here in Normal, every one of us. We all have a part to play, and we should all consider each other in humility, not thinking any one is any better than any other. We belong to each other. We are a family. And that fact begs us to know each other better so that we can care for those parts that are going through difficult times. First Corinthians 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So if we were functioning, if we are functioning as God intends, we will be interdependent upon each other and wholly dependent upon God as the source of our sustenance and strength. And I just wanted, it struck me this time. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And sometimes I feel like we have chosen to become numb to different parts of our bodies, to different members of our congregation who have issues. Have we neglected it so much that we no longer feel anything? If so, that is not healthy. We need to know each other and feel each other's pain if we're going to help it get better. So there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. And that's an area I need to work on. I'm closer to some of you than others. But this scripture teaches us we should have equal concern for each other. And as we better understand the value of our friendships and the value of our family in the church, it'll be easier to do. And I appreciate very much this congregation. And through my trials and issues, you have demonstrated a good understanding of this principle. But I know there's still issues for others here and other places that we may be able to provide the comfort that they need to get through those difficult times. So that's the gist of the lesson. Again, that pain and suffering has a purpose. That there is this the gift of life, and it truly is a gift that we'll have to give an accounting for. The perspective to stop and think about what's important and priorities. The patience that we develop because of suffering. The dependence we have on God and the dependence we should have on each other. And how important our body is. That every member is important and we should have equal concern. So as I conclude, several months ago, I'm on my phone while I'm lying on the couch and I'm taking these kind of notes, just jotting them down as I have these thoughts, as I'm having this introspection. And I mentioned it to Susie that at some point I might give a lesson on this topic. And she told me she didn't want to hear the sermon. She wanted to see the sermon played out in my life. So, I'll try to do that. So, my friends, fellow members of the body of Christ, I want us to hold each other accountable. Communicate with kindness and love, but communicate. help each other. You see a weakness. You see a flaw. You see something where you could comfort or encourage them to do better, whether it be me or someone else. Have the courage to say something. We'll all benefit from it. Our body will be healthier as a result. That's what true friends do for each other, and that's what I'll strive to do for you. Be aware and help. In a moment, we're going to sing number 650. And I've grown to appreciate the sentiment of this song very much. So you can turn your songbooks there if you'd like. The truth is, pain and suffering help us to realize that we need a doctor to relieve the pain and to deal with the issues we can't fix ourselves. There was a moment where all I wanted to hear the next thing was, where's the neurosurgeon? That's what I need. Can't fix this. It is true physically, and it's also true spiritually. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Mark 2:17. So the great physician, the one that can fix what we cannot fix on our own, wants to help. And he desires to have a relationship with you. So if you are having difficulties, struggling with pain and suffering, I hope this lesson's been helpful to you. But I also want to talk to those who have been fortunate enough, either through age or luck, not to have endured pain and suffering in your life. Thank God. Enjoy the gift that He's given you. But prepare your mind, like Job and like Paul, that you're praise of God will not be contingent upon favorable circumstances. Praise God always.